Okay, hi everybody, and moving on here to the sixth initiation, about which there are actually 12 pages. That's quite amazing. So it won't be done all in one program, certainly. Maybe I'll make this one about an hour in duration, something like that, because we have our glamour. Dissipation of Glamour webinar coming up before long. So it's called The Great Decision, or The Decision. It's under the third ray. It's under, I would say, the sign Libra, which is a major distributor of the third ray. Just make sure that, yeah, we're all seeing this. And it is the decision used to be made at the fifth degree. Everything has been spiraled upward in recent times, and all attainments are more difficult. And this goes for ourselves as well as we are treading the initiatory path to take the second initiation, for instance, at this time is more difficult than to take it in former times. The requirements are higher. The requirements are higher for all the initiations given the upward spiral that we can always expect. So DK says, we've been studying along. This is number 99, by the way, and it begins at page 718. I'm always managing to lose the ones I've just finished, and Mercury retrograde at the moment doesn't help, but okay, we'll do our best under the circumstances. We've been studying along three lines, which, in spite of the unavoidable abstruseness of the subject, have meant much to the earnest individual disciple, because the words used to express the initiations have been renunciation, ascension, revelation. Now, notice how the word ascension is placed between the word generally used for the fourth degree, renunciation, or the great renunciation, and revelation, the word used for the fifth. The true ascension is not the ascension with which we are familiar. There is a rising out of the body at the crucifixion or renunciation, but it is not quite the same as the sixth degree, which is the true ascension. The Christ rose, as it were, to sit at the right hand of the Father, at least to the monadic plane. And as he began to take the seventh initiation, I'm sure, well, I feel it is convincing that the logoic plane or the seventh plane was in some way available to him and part of that ascending process. So we have to get used to the idea that what the Tibetan discusses in these last seven rules, and in the latter part of the book, will be abstruse. Now, I guess we could say that about so much of his writing anyway. The person who is not interested in occultism and in esoteric philosophy would pick up maybe any one of his books and be bewildered by the language. But we can be conduits of explanation regarding this language. It's not so difficult to understand. So there is a general rising up into a greater vibratory level and into a greater light. All these convey practical and useful concepts to the mind, and yet at the same time, Their true meaning involves a detachment, a divine indifference, and a spiritual perception. Now, these seem to be triadal states, of which no disciple has had more than a glimpse and a dim sensing of possibility. So every one of these states requires a focus within the spiritual triad. The revelation perhaps takes place at a higher state than the Buddhic level, maybe the Atmic level, although the Master does function much on the Buddhic level. And the ascension is an ascension out of the destroyed causal body and out of the destroyed lower personality vehicle, the first ascension. I suppose when we are trying to explain these things to our Christian friends, we have to be very careful that the words we use are well defined, and so they will not be confused with words and concepts with which they are more familiar. So anyway, he's telling us we are disciples. We are not true initiates. We've had no more than a glimpse and a dim sensing of possibility. Okay, he's going over what he's done. I then lifted these three ideas onto a wider level and endeavored to show how the crises through which humanity is today passing and will continue to pass during the next 50 years, well, that's until the 90s, let us say, of the previous century, though with lessening effects of discomfort, if right attitude is assumed, but we certainly are still deeply within crisis, and it may be inferred that humanity has not taken all of its opportunities, and so the suffering is prolonged. Okay, so let's say that the crises can also be related to these three words. We're constantly renouncing. We are learning more and more how little of the material side of life is necessary to live the happy, joyful life. We are making contact with more rapid vibrations all the time if things are going well, and we're becoming more sensitive, which is part of an ascension and the revelation of the reality, which is always present, is proceeding apace. This is the ideal. This is hopefully what is happening in our lives. All right. So humanity is passing through these things too, not just the individual disciple. I do not wish you to infer that mankind is, in fact, undergoing these initiatory experiences. You know, the possibility of the first initiation looms ahead, but certainly not the fourth and fifth initiations and the interim between them. The renunciation is being imposed by circumstances and is not a free undertaking. It's a bit like the third petal of sacrifice, you know, in the knowledge petals. So often the sacrifice is forced upon the individual. This is not so much the case with the sixth petal in the love tier, where he is voluntarily undertaking the sacrificial attitude, let us say, more under the sign Pisces. The moving onward is the result of a somewhat inchoate and uncontrolled momentum and is not the effort of the liberated soul, but we can be glad that there is a forcing process, even if it is uncomfortable. Of course, so often the relatively unenlightened individual is uncomfortable and distressed when when the renunciations are being forced upon him or upon her. The revelation which is to come will be the result of hierarchical activity focused through the Christ, though not presented by his coming, not yet. It will come as a result of the work of his work and hierarchical activity, though great revelations lie ahead for all of humanity when the Christ does reappear and following. But even before that happens, revelation can come. Revelation is coming to humanity, and along with it is what we might call some degree of disillusionment, usually regretted because we hold fast to our illusions, which give us some psychological comfort. But later, when we see how things really are, we are glad to be disabused of those illusions, which really were preventing true revelation from dawning upon us. All these initiations have their lower correspondences, and the one we are to consider at this time is no exception. Now, this is the great decision, ruled by the third ray, ruled by Libra, and pertaining to the monad, per se, to man as a realized monad, and again, in possession of the faculties of the monad, because the great pilgrimage, the great redemptive pilgrimage into the lower levels of the Brahmic planes has been completed. All of them can appeal to the aspirant as embodying for him some immediate goal, to renounce, to rise, to decide. But the concept is only preparatory in its nature. It's a bit like, you know, those passing through the second initiation often feel they are passing through the fourth, when in fact some of the preparation for the fourth initiation is being undertaken at the second degree, but it's not the full fourth initiation. This can be illustrated by pointing out that the great renunciation becomes possible because, for many lives, the disciple has learnt to renounce the less valuable for that which is of greater worth, to sacrifice really the lesser for the greater, even though at the time of sacrifice many who are renouncing the lesser think it is the greater, and they're very uncertain about what the return will be. But anyway, over the many lives, we've learned to, as it says in one of the disciples' mantrams, to forego peace, to forfeit rest, and in the stress of pain, to lose myself and find myself, thus entering into peace. Lose the self and find the real self. That's a tough one, because we have to give up our former sense of identity for what? For something quite abstruse and intangible, until it begins to dawn upon us that it is real. Anyway, for many lives, the disciple has learned to renounce, and when treading the path of initiation, to renounce consciously and with formulated purpose. So that's, we all of us should be on the path of conscious renunciation. Because we have had, through our studies and our meditations, an adjustment in our sense of values. And without that, we will not choose aright. We're always faced with Saturn, the planet of discipleship. It's also the planet of choice. And at every moment in our lives, really, we are faced with the task of choosing that which is greater over that which is lesser, even though it can seem at the moment a painful choice. In the same manner, the sixth initiation of decision also becomes possible because the initiate has, since his affiliation with the hierarchy, it doesn't have to be yet a third degree initiate, perhaps. He has to be drawn into a service relationship with the hierarchy and with the divine plan, as so many of DK students who were not yet initiates even of the second degree were drawn in. But anyway, since his affiliation with hierarchy, learned to make the right choice, and his ability to do that emerges out of his effort whilst on the probationary path, even maybe before the first degree, and on the earlier stages of the path of discipleship, before accepted discipleship, there to make the right, correct choices and spiritually motivated decisions. A long process, really. Maybe less long now, as things are speeding up considerably to meet the need, but this process has been going over many lives. I'm pointing this out because as we now begin to study the final four initiations, which are far beyond the understanding of even the advanced disciple, I suppose an initiate of the second degree, and then I would say far beyond the understanding even of the third degree initiate, although 2 threes are six, there are those numerological relationships between the initiations. It will not be a waste of time. In spite of a lack of true comprehension, qualities and attributes and certain needed lessons will be indicated to the true aspirant, you know, at least one who has taken the first initiation. All true aspirants have taken the first initiation, he tells us, and these he can now begin to develop. So, you know, how far ahead is too far to see? If you see very, very far ahead, can you somehow apply the realization that you have to your immediate task? And I live in the faith that one can do that. I would like, first of all, to point out that the sixth initiation is to the master who stands before the planetary logos what the second initiation is to the disciples. So, well, you can see how that works, you know, in terms of the, let's go here. You see two planes down, two planes up, the astral plane, the monadic plane. The number six is involved either way, six down or six up, and this numerological resonance does apply. Excuse me. All right. What the second initiation is to the disciple, okay. The fifth initiation, now look, the master who stands before the planetary logos. Now this is interesting. we are told in IHS, Initiation Human and Solar, that an, where am I? Oh, yeah. That an existence presides, obviously an extension of the planetary logos over the sixth initiation, but apparently it is not Sanat Kumara considered in some of his lower functions. Now, sometimes the planetary logos is called Sanat Kumara, but DK is elusive about the Hierophant at the sixth initiation, and he simply calls it an existence. Really, the planetary logos is behind it all, but you know what kind of emanation of this planetary logos, equipped in what way, is officiating at the various initiations. It seems that Sanat Kumara officiates at the third, fourth, and fifth. This existence officiates at the sixth, and the planetary logos himself, I suppose, in an a non-emanated state, officiates at the seventh initiation, along with some kind of representation of the solar logos, I would think. Anyway, if the second initiation is difficult, it probably involves decision as well, on a much lower turn of the spiral. The fifth initiation of revelation and the sixth initiation of decision are the higher correspondences to the first two initiations. Now that's interesting because, you know, we're called in systemic terms an entered apprentice when we are in Masonic terms. An entered apprentice when we are an initiate of the first degree, but at the fifth initiation, we're called an entered apprentice on the Lodge of Sirius at the fifth degree. Both are entered apprentices, but the systems involved have quite a discrepancy between them. And there's a major purification that occurs at the second degree, and you wonder whether at the sixth degree in relation to greater destinations such as Sirius, some type of higher purification does not also occur. So this is interesting. And the third initiation, of course, also seems to connect with the fifth along the hard line of 135. But anyway, the fifth initiation of revelation and the sixth initiation of decision are the higher correspondences to the first two initiations, which are regarded by the Lodge on Sirius as initiations of the threshold. Okay, I should just read a little farther in the sentence and I'd find what I'm speculating about here. But we know that it's suggested then that only at the seventh initiation is the progressing master truly an initiate in the light of the lodge on Sirius, the great white lodge or the blue lodge, sometimes called on Sirius, just the way the only true initiate in our planetary series of initiations is the third degree initiate and not the first two initiates of the first two degrees, because those degrees are initiations of the threshold. Have this carefully in mind. Okay. Much earlier in this treatise, page 361, I made the comment that the second initiation, with its evidenced control of desire, indicating right choice, that's a very important one because we don't allow our desires to run away with us, negating what our mind knows to be correct, was the threshold to those levels of impression, of contact, and of future ascension, which are the sevenfold goals set before the master when the sixth initiation, the true ascension, is consummated. Well, there he says it, you see. So often in the popular narrative about these initiations, the ascension is considered to be that which follows the crucifixion. But no, it's the sixth degree. And here we are talking, obviously, we are speaking of the way of higher evolution, which is that which leads to those levels of impression and of ascension in a sevenfold manner, and let's just say now a ninefold manner, although he does not elaborate upon what the additional two paths might be. But let's remember they all lead to the Pleiades eventually, and there are seven Pleiades, but really in the core of it there are nine, because the father and mother, so to speak, mythologically, of the Pleiades, Atlas and Pleione, are considered then in relation to the seven. And we wonder then whether those stars become attractive points to the venturing monad returning to the Pleiades. Probably each one of the Pleiades has a kind of each one of those central Pleiades, really there's almost 1,000, I suppose, corresponding with the 1,000-petaled lotus. But each one of those core Pleiades probably is the receptor for one or other of the paths. So it is for this reason that this initiation is called the initiation of decision, because the path on the way of higher evolution must be chosen. And it is a free choice, but the correct path is only one, and one of them. And we have to ask whether it is the path along which the monad descended long ago. You know, we're told the Buddha at the time did not choose the correct path because he remained with humanity on the path of earth service. So it is a free choice. And it was his compassion, even though he is a third ray monad, he has the second ray subray, which is his compassion that led him to remain on the path of earth service, assisting. Well, these are high matters, and we're nowhere near having to face them in a practical manner. But it doesn't hurt to understand them. All right, so we go on and say, he says, this is a point of real interest and of practical value. It reveals in a new sense and quite definitely that all happenings on our planet are in truth simply preparatory to other much greater events and opportunities. We as a monads will not stay with our planet, though we may return in another solar system. That would be interesting, you know, and that entity that we call the Earth, the planetary locus of Earth, has not yet fully developed and will not fully develop in this solar system. Maybe five cosmic initiations may be taken in this solar system, but the Earth being a first ray monad and certainly not having had the opportunity to express that first ray monad in any kind of completeness will probably find its place in the succeeding first ray solar system. Even in this one, it does have a first ray function as the base of the spine center of our solar logos, and that kind of relationship is very important even for the advancement of our solar logos. So it's a very relative system, and all things are dependent upon each other. Anyway, much greater events, destinations into various extra systemic, destinations, ventures into extra systemic targets or destinations are coming, and they are great chakras in the one about whom naught may be said, and eventually it all leads to the hub of the one about whom naught may be said, which, at least our local one about whom, that is the Pleiades, which may be considered in a way the great crown center of the one about whom naught may be said, and maybe the seven Pleiades or nine Pleiades is kind of the jewels in the crown. Okay, well, they put the master or the Chohan. We seem to have no word to express the type of consciousness of the initiate who has taken the five initiations of the strictly human evolution, based upon the number five, of course, Leo, the fifth sign, being the most human of the signs. Five is humanity, and Mercury is the, in a way, the star of humanity, and its number is very much a five. So we don't have words to express who it is, really, that is taking this more advanced initiation. We call it a Chohan, where at each initiation he expresses the sum total of all past attainment. So only these days, only the master, the one who has taken five initiations and is moving towards Chohanship, is really thinking in terms of the path along the way of higher evolution, which he is intended to travel as a monad. So his entire past is involved in what he demonstrates. And I suppose, you know, each initiation is a demonstration of achievement and an acquisition of new powers, some of which have already been attempted. And we understand that initiation is a conferral, a stabilization of powers which have been recognized, utilized, with which the initiate is somewhat familiar, but there's an upgrading and a stabilization of those powers at the initiation. Well, let's see. We have no words. So what's happening here is preparatory to our great destiny on higher cosmic planes. Indeed, in this universe, we have a lot to look forward to. And they put the master or the Chohan. We seem to have no word to express the type of consciousness of the initiate who has taken the five initiations of strictly human evolution in a position where at each initiation he expresses the sum total of all past attainment. Initiation is cumulative. Okay. The expression found at each initiation or each successive initiation is cumulative. His entire past is involved in what he demonstrates. We continue to gather and add the powers of the past to the newly acquired abilities. This is not consciously so. All that he is or knows, so this is not consciously so. Okay, I see, this is it. It's something about second nature at a very high level of development. This is not consciously so. All that he is or knows has dropped below the threshold of consciousness. In the same way that the instinctual nature of man is today automatic and spontaneous and not consciously used. You know, it would be a shame, wouldn't it, if you were driving a stick shift car and you had to reason out at every change of gear what motion you would use with the gear shift. Certain things become ingrained automatic, and this saves time and clears the consciousness so it can be focused on the acquisition of new abilities. So all that he is or knows has dropped below the threshold of consciousness. You know, sometimes I suppose when we talk, we realize that the function of the lower mind is occurring spontaneously as we focus on higher soul or triadal levels. We don't have to, there's a time binding which occurs, and it clears the way for the acquisition of new abilities and powers. Automatic and spontaneous. In spite of this subjective activity, men are nevertheless in possession of a definite part of their equipment, that upon which they are focused. Well, you sometimes look at the psychosynthesis egg diagram. You know, consciousness is mostly focused in the center, dealing with the things that it is mastering. But in the bottom part of the egg is all that has been mastered and is instinctually, spontaneously available, and far ahead is the superconscious coming down and becoming more and more conscious per se, but it is not yet the vibratory area in which the human consciousness can focus at will. So all of us have a super conscious that we are trying to access. And the more successful we are, the more we can enrich the middle area of consciousness. Eventually, I think we would call it the soul-infused personality. Okay, so in spite of this subjective activity, men are nevertheless in full possession of a definite part of their equipment. And so it is with the master. He's really focused triadally. Everything in the three worlds is automatic for him. All that he has been in the spiritual sense and in wisdom, perception, and full comprehension is now instinctual, and the powers, knowledges, attributes involved are instantaneously his. That's the point, isn't it? Without effort or conscious activity, without the work. He doesn't have to re-expend the work. I'll just kind of emphasize that. He has attained. So he does not have to re-expend the work necessary to utilize that which is already attained. Well, it's like a language, you know. When you're learning the language, it's a labor. When it becomes automatic, the language just speaks itself, so it seems. He can depend fully upon what he is and has. So there's a statement in the rules where let there be no recollection, and yet let memory rule. We don't need to recollect the exact circumstances constantly under which we learn something. The learning is part of us, and it's part of our memory, and it functions automatically. He can depend fully upon what he is and has, and as a result of initiation, he is free from the questionings, doubts, and uncertainties which are so distinctive of the disciple. So let's just say the non-intuitive mind questions constantly, but intuition knows to win. So we are trying to make that transition into the intuitive aspect of our nature, away from the functionings, the very uncertain reasoning functionings of the lower concrete mind, and as we progress in our esoteric work, contacting the soul, being infused by the soul, contacting the spiritual triad via the Antikarana, and inviting that infusion through the projection process, we too will be able to transcend these concrete mind limitations. Earlier, and you know, someone had to go back and find it, right? I pointed out that the masters at the sixth initiation of decision, see the word master, it's used constantly. Even the Christ at the seventh degree is called master, and I suppose it's such a generic term that it's useful maybe throughout the full range. If we want to get specific, we'll talk about Chohans, who are high priests, masters who are higher in their development, but the word master is generic and suits a number of levels of initiation. Earlier, I pointed out that the masters at the sixth initiation of decision face realms of service where they will have to impart, strengthen, and enlighten that which is already fused, already strong, and already full of light, but which needs that which they bring in order to express the all-encompassing whole. Well, the revelation of the monad, you know, is now theirs, and they are conscious monads. They have re-become the monad in fullness, at least on the cosmic physical plane. So wholeness, let's just say, wholeness is of the perception of the monad. And we perceive varying grades of wholeness as we progress in the expansion of our consciousness, but really the monad, the spirit in total identification with all planetary things and maybe beyond, is that which knows the wholeness. It really begins in a very serious way with isolated unity at mastership. But who can say what the state of the monad is, or the state of the liberated monad onto the logoic plane? It's that monad, I think, which really makes the outward bound pilgrimage along the way of higher evolution. So they already, there is the soul infusion, triadal infusion, but they add divinity to it, you might say. The word spiritual relates to the five, well, to the Atmic and Buddhic plane particularly, and maybe to the highest level of the mental plane, highest subplane. But the word divine relates to the monadic levels and beyond, and they add a certain kind of divinity. They add a certain sense of the wholeness. And a much clearer role related to purpose for the initiate who has attained this degree. Of course, purpose is not revealed all at once, and even high masters only know still a little bit of the purpose of Sanat Kumara, some syllable perhaps in his, is it sevenfold name? So there are always going to be additions in the realization of purpose, but at least in terms of wholeness and being part of, or really being the encompassing whole somehow, this is achieved at the sixth initiation when one re-becomes the monad in full possession of its abilities. Before that, you simply have to be impressed by that which is on a higher plane, because for the moment you are identified with that extension of the monad which is on lower planes. But gradually those identifications cease, and again, once again, you identify as the monad. Well, okay, they bring in, it's infusing that which is already strong and full of light, but which needs that which they bring in order to express the all-encompassing whole. And it may be the wholeness of the planet, I think, before you can express the all-encompassing whole of the system or beyond. Still more progress has to be made, but the realization of the One, which includes the entire universe, that may be dawning or realized. This is, of course, a mysterious and rather paradoxical statement, but a certain measure of light can be thrown upon it if it is remembered that the sixth initiation is related in a peculiar way to path number six. Now, that's the path of the Sola Logoi. That's very interesting. Because our own planetary logos, this is the path on which our planetary logos is found, leading to the cosmic Buddhic plane. The only path which does, unless paths 8 and 9 do, but we're not told. Okay, and in these matters, we had better be told by a trustworthy source, otherwise we're going to very probably make mistakes. So our planetary logos is okay. I'm maybe forgetting that I ever read this, but it seems our planetary logos is on the way to become a solar logos. But not yet, and probably not until the next solar system has expired. There are just so many ways to tread these paths, and we're told that those on the path of Earth service fight their way onto the sixth path, which the solar logoi, or those who will become solar logoi, are treading. And there may be different ways to get there. Does one necessarily have to become a planetary logos to become a solar logos? Maybe not. Maybe one can transfer from the path of Sirius to path number five, and from path number five to path number six, avoiding the path of the planetary logo. I suppose much depends on history, on ray, on the mode of descent of the monad from the earliest times, and that's a complicated issue as well. You know, whether the monad that we think we are existed in the earliest days of the universe, and on planes higher than the physical, or whether our identity was vast and we were that vast identity, and then ever more circumscribed identities, ever more circumscribed, until we became what we now call the monad, but were really far vaster identities than that which the monad can embrace. And yet there is only one monad in all of cosmos. Anyway, this, you know, through numerical resonance, we begin to think this path, this sixth path, is necessarily related to the sixth ray of devotion or idealism, and also to the sixth plane, the astral plane, the plane of glamour and desire, and of course to the monadic plane. I would have you bear these relationships in mind, but I would have you also remember that this initiation of decision, at this initiation of decision, the master can move forward on any one of the seven paths, and now nine, which he may decide is for him the field of his future service, and note how service, how the theme, theme of service is persistent, no matter how high, so to speak, we ascend. So, a great devotion somehow, a kind of devotion which maybe only the monad can experience, lords of ceaseless and persevering devotion, they are devotion to that which is below, and also obviously devotion to that which is above. Maybe it takes very strong devotion to tread this sixth path. Of course, it's not an immediate issue for any of us. We have to simply become initiates, you know, and we have to offer ourselves in service to the planetary logos, where we will be working for a while as fourth and fifth degree initiates, and maybe, if we tread the path of Earth service, as sixth degree initiates and beyond. But we have a lot to do to prove ourselves before we can be thinking about which of these cosmic paths we will tread, and whether we would ever become, probably in the company of many monads, fused into one. The fusion of the monad is a very interesting idea, you know. It's all, in a way, its essence is already fused, but here we have a question: how many solar angels does it take to make a planetary logos? Because they do become planetary logoi, but in groups. And we might ask, how many monads of a human kind does it take to make certain higher beings? And we say, well, what happens to my identity then if I'm fused with the other monads? But this is, of course, revealing a lower way of understanding, which is not characterized by identification, whereby we know actually we are the other. And to remain as an isolated monad would be a negation of real understanding. The monad can never be isolated. It always is everything else and every other monad. So the whole fusion of what we call our essence with other essences, I think, lies ahead upon the path. How it will work out, we can only speculate, but we already are the whole, right? So we already are the one being, and we already are, if I can wander into one of my favorite subjects, we already are absolute infinity forever. So there's no problem really with monadic fusion, if I can call it that. Anyway, he would have us bear these relationships in mind, but I would have you also remember that at this initiation of decision, the master can move forward on any one of the seven paths he may decide, which he may decide is for him the field of his future service, and of course, he can be incorrect. But I would suppose temporarily incorrect, and then can find his way back onto the path which is really his. This expression of his choice is, as you know, not dependent upon his ray energy or upon what might be the impelling force of the planetary rays. I mean, we come from a 1-2-3 planet, but there are other ray combinations on which monads reaching the Chohanic stage make their decision. So we're not limited by our planetary rays. There may be, DK seems to say, a kind of a tendency where he says, oh, many monads of the fifth type take the path number 2. Or the ray path is taken mostly by those upon the, first and second ray, is that it? And the planetary logoi path, you're schooled along the third ray, and if you have that kind of third ray training, it's easier to take that path, but it's not ray limited. So let's just say the path taken upon the way of higher evolution is not ray limited. Now, it is not for me to tell you whether this dominating ray is his soul ray or the monadic ray or universal ray, I suppose, the ray of the solar system, because solar systems are, I wonder if it's three of them. Yeah, solar systems are considered as, quote-unquote, universes. At least that was one way to look at them. Well, this is interesting. It's a free choice. The ray may be somewhat involved, but is not dependent. It may be, his rays may incline, but do not determine. There are tendencies that just, I'm forgetting for the moment what path number 2 is. Where you are working with the astral body. I suppose it's terrible to forget that. But let's just say maybe if I do this path of earth service, I might be able to see right away path of magnetic work. There it is. Okay. On this path of magnetic work, a lot of fifth ray monads, that is people, he calls them people, who have the monadic ray as their fifth ray, maybe not their ultimate monadic ray, which is probably 1, 2, or 3, but at least the first monadic ray as their fifth ray. So certain paths are connected with certain rays, connected with certain rays, but the rays are not determining regarding the choice of any path. And when you think about the ray path itself, you would think that somehow those with access to all the seven rays would have to tread that path because they become, in a way, a ray. They become a cosmic ray on a particular of a particular type, just the way the Christ at this time will be treading the right path, for a while at least. What is a while? And will be a great ray of love. Although eventually, whatever Sirius will be when he's completed that task, he will return to Sirius, we are told. Well, these are amazing things, you know, and I wish I could go on, but there's another webinar coming up. So, I'll just say that this is the end of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary, number 99. And today is the 15th of December, and beginning, maybe later tonight, we'll see, of Rays Initiations Webinar Commentary number 100. We're dealing with the sixth initiation, and we can do that because, in a sense, there are lower anticipations within our range of experience of what that great decision might be. Since we're always being led by Saturn on this path of discipleship, we're always making important choices, and our ability to do so will lead up eventually to our ability to choose correctly at the time we become Chohans. And of course, we have to work quite a bit as a master first. And even Chohans at this time are being retained by Sanat Kumara. Sanat Kumara, because the planetary crisis is so severe. So we're linking up many things and trying to get a greater wholeness of perception about what's really going on. All right, and then we'll go on to number 100 when we can. Okay, all the best. See you soon. Bye-bye.